and I have the privilege to share the word of God with you again today and welcome you in the sanctuary, in the balcony, and welcome you online, wherever you are. We are speaking from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London. Last week we started a message, and the theme was Remember Your First Love. Remember Your First Love. I pray that you have the opportunity to go back and listen to the message so that you can follow us, when you go home. Today, we want to progress this message again. I'm not going to preach what I preached last week, but I'm going to continue from where we left off. But before then, I'll bring you up to speed very quickly. And remember, your first love is the theme. And our key Bible passage will be Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. That was Jesus Christ speaking to the church in Ephesus, literally one of the seven churches in Asia at the time. So Jesus is speaking to us, South Street Baptist Church, wherever you are. The church is not the building, but it's the people that make up the church. And I want to remind each one of you and myself that it is easy for a lot of us to be in a church, to serve and do so much good works, and to keep the routine, but without any hunger for God. It is easy. That every Sunday you know you have to go to church and you go to church, or you're born into a church, or maybe you belong to a denomination, and therefore every Sunday you find some time to go to that church. But if you're there without any hunger for God, we lose our first love. The Bible says that we should not lose our first love. Otherwise, you will fall apart. If we lose our first love, we will fall apart. Then our lampstand will be removed, which will eventually lead to us leaving the faith unless we repent. So let's go to the Word of God to read the Bible. Because if I speak to you and I don't bring the Bible, which is our theistic, our standard, and our guide, then I may not be doing well. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 5 says this: I know your works. I know your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience, persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now, the Bible is saying that you are good people. You're doing a great job. You're serving God. You come faithfully to church. You even have patience. And when some people are lying and literally saying things about themselves, you're able to identify them and you know you didn't follow them. He said you have good things in you. However, there is something that is missing. And that which is missing is your first love. And if you lose that first love, that means you are backsliding. You are falling. And if we do not check that, one day we'll end up even leaving the faith. And he says that we have to repent when we see this. Otherwise, God will come and remove our lampstand from its place. What makes it you? God will remove it from its place. So that means that God is saying that it is not enough to just be a Christian. It's not enough to be born again. It's not just enough to come to church and serve. But you got to be at a place where you are hungry for more. The question is, are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for more today? God is speaking to his church that he wants us to be spiritually mature. Maturity in the kingdom of God is sustained by hunger. If you want to mature as a Christian, then you got to be hungry, and it's the hunger for God that will sustain you. You can't grow without hunger. You can't grow to be mature. You can't even continue to serve unless you are hungry for it. Because if you're not hungry in your service, at every opportunity you just have an excuse not to serve. If you are not hungry for your responsibilities, at every opportunity you will renege on your promises. If you are not hungry for God, at every opportunity you will not commit to God and your assignment. And I said, what is first love that God wants you and me so passionately to have? What is it that he said, remember where therefore you have fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come and remove your candlesticks, lampstand from its place. It is so important that God is saying that unless you turn away and go for your first love, that passion that you had for God, then God will remove your lampstand. We have to take this serious. And last week I said first love is the passion one has for God, where God becomes your priority. It's the passion that one has for God, where God becomes your priority. And I remember about 2.5-3 years ago, Apostle Guillermo Maldonado said, look, passion is a supernatural inner fire. Passion is a supernatural inner fire. A strong desire. A strong emotion that you have for someone or something. And in this case, do you have that supernatural inner fire in you? Is something churning in your belly? Is something becoming a strong desire for you? Do you have that strong desire? Is that desire enough to move strong emotions in you for God or for what are you doing? Our first love is to follow God wholeheartedly. You can see that I talked about all these things last week, and I'm trying to take it gently just to remind you to get it bedded in. That our first love is to follow the Lord our God wholeheartedly. And when you do, you become hungry for God. And you want more of him. More of him to serve others. Why do we need passion? I just mentioned this one by one. We need passion for God. Because when you have passion for God, it creates hunger for new territories. The people of Israel were traveling. They left Egypt. They were in the wilderness. But they were going somewhere. And Joshua led them after Moses died. There was so much passion in this man that he said, yes, Moses took 40 years to bring us thus far, but in 3 days' time, we are going to go into the promised land. That is passion. That is hunger. He couldn't hang around anymore. All along, remember, I'm glad, Pastor Irene, we read Exodus chapter 33, that Moses was always before God. He wanted God so much, and he was before God and hearing God. But even after he has descended from the mountains, Joshua was there. Why? Because he wanted more. So when Moses died and he took over, if you look at Joshua chapter 1, he took over. He said, 3 days' time, we're going to go into the promised land. That is passion for you. For our God will be with us. Hallelujah. So When you lose that passion for God, you have it for something else. If you don't have that passion for God, you have it for something else. Because if you wake up in the morning and you cannot pray, if you wake up in the morning and you can't pick up your Bible, if you wake up in the morning and you cannot give glory to God, a whole day goes and you haven't remembered God, but you've done every other thing, then your passion is for something else. And God says, remember your first love. Hallelujah. I'm sure those of you who probably have fallen in love before, you couldn't wait to see that person. You couldn't wait to talk. My time, we didn't have mobile phones. You'd be surprised. We already have these red boxes. You know the red boxes? British Telecom telephone box. And you have to use coins. And you have to put it in, and you pray that the coin doesn't go quickly because you want to talk. That's passionate. Sometimes when it's even cold, you walk out from your house to go to the wayside. There's no heaters in those road boxes, you know. And you are cold, and you're still talking. You don't even feel cold until you get out. So that is passion for you. Let me not digress. You see, we said number two, we said hunger creates humility and total dependence on God, or total dependency on God. When you are hungry, you are humble. You said, I want something. You are in that place of humility. You are in that place that you are depending so much on God that it creates some spiritual hunger in you. And that spiritual hunger is the evidence of your humility. Because you come to the point, you said, God, you know what? I'm in need. I am not satisfied. I want more. I want more. I want more of you. Hallelujah. Have you come to that point in your life where you are, you not don't feel that you've got enough? Am I at that point that I'm saying, God, I want more. I want to see more miracles in my life, in the life of the church, in the life of everyone who, get in touch with me. I was sharing on Saturday at evangelism school that every day when I come to the office, at least I get 2 phone calls from people either in this country or overseas talking to me, Pastor Gideon, pray for me. I need a miracle. And I'll be doing that. And I'm thinking, God, I want more. I want to hear more of miracles. I want to see you meet people's needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I want more of your holy presence. Why do we have to be hungry for God? Why do we need passion for God? Number three, hunger causes people to move beyond what is familiar. You move beyond what it is familiar to you. Hunger will stir in your heart to go and seek for that marking. You want God to mark you. You want something to isolate and show you as somebody special, which will set you apart because you want to leave your convenience behind. Hunger will cause you to leave your comfort zone and make you sacrifice more. God values hunger. Number four, that's where we got to. Hunger releases the capacity to dream. Hunger will release your capacity to dream. Dream about personal things. Dream about your ministry. Dream about your family. Dream about your job. Dream about your business. Dream about your church. You want more. Hallelujah. And this is what the Bible is saying, that you have left your first love. You do all these things, but you are not hungry. You are not passionate enough. I want you to be. And if you're here and you haven't even gotten that hunger before, you haven't even crossed the line of faith, then God is saying that I want you to cross the line of faith. I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know that God wants to turn your life around. God wants to leverage your life for the better. God wants to leverage you to himself so that you can also walk and realize your dreams. See, let me give you this Bible reference just to save time. I will not read it all through, but I want you to go home and read it. Joshua chapter 14, verse 9 to 15. Joshua chapter 14, verse 9 to 15. I'll tell you the story very quickly. That was Joshua has now crossed the River Jordan. They are in the promised land. And when they crossed, they realized there were other people on the land. So you cannot just go and possess it. They had to fight for the territories. But before they crossed, Moses told them that Caleb, because you and Joshua, you did what was right. And when you went to spy the land, you came with a good report. You know what I will do? I give you a portion of the land, this side of the river before we cross. I will give you that land. By that time that Moses said this, Joshua was 40 years old, a young man. Now, it took them 40 years walking on the promised land, walking on the desert. So by the time that they crossed and they helped others to occupy their territories, to realize their dreams because they were going to the promised land, and the land was divided to the 12 tribes. Of course, the tribe of Levi didn't get any, not because they didn't deserve one. God said, I'll be your provision. And the two sons of Joseph got one each. So it was divided into 12 tribes. And when it was divided, Caleb came to Joshua and said, Joshua, remember what Moses said 40 years back, 45 years prior, that this land, he will give it to me. So I want you to give me this hill country that Moses promised. For I serve God wholeheartedly. He said that twice in this passage. I have served God wholeheartedly. I have not reneged on anything that I had to do for God. My heart is for God. I still have passion for God. So give me this hill country that was promised. For my strength is as strong as it was 45 years ago. At that time, he was 85. Think about that. Caleb was an 85-year-old man. So that means that he was literally an old man. He says, I'm going to fight for that land and I'm going to have it. Because that is my dream. That is my passion. So he was hungry for God. He said, my God will be with me. He said, my God has promised he will be with me. I know I've served him wholeheartedly and I know this God will be with me. So when you have passion for God, you realize your dreams. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how many obstacles that is on your way. It doesn't matter how many mountains that would be in your way. It doesn't matter how many disruptions that come your way. It doesn't matter how many distractions and disappointment that will come your way. Your hunger for God will lead you to realize your dreams. Hallelujah, Lord. You see, when I set up in the secular world and I set it account, I said, my dream was that one day I'll also walk on the fourth or the seventh floor like all those nice people in nice suit. Usually the last but one floor of a big corporation with a accountancy department is always, with a accountancy department is for the executives, the people who make decisions and the people who, I mean, literally walk around. They have smart brains. Do I say they don't do much work? I'm sure they do a lot of work. But they don't do much of the menial works because they just think laterally, big, and they get things done. That was my passion. That was my dream. But as someone like me, it's not easy to get up there. It doesn't matter how smart you are. I face obstacles. I face blockages. I face hatred. I face everything that you can throw at anybody. There are times that I'm thinking, is this worth fighting for? But then God was with me. And each time I went to God, I said, God, remember me. God, remember me. God, remember me that I serve you faithfully. Remember me that you are my priority. Remember that I'm hungry for this God. And all this time I had God with me. And sometimes I pray and I say, God, help me in this situation. Even the very people that I work with, they will have me dead. One person even actually told me that, I wish you were dead, and that person is dead before me, you see. So I look at him and I'm thinking, you know what? I ain't going to die. You'll die before me. And he died 2 years ago. You see, I didn't curse him. I just said it. Because he said, I wish you were dead, And I'm thinking, why do you wish I'm dead and I haven't done anything wrong? So I just want you to know that when God is with you, it doesn't matter. And with this story to conclude, at the end of the day, I also walk on the seventh floor with my own room. I also walk on the fourth floor with my own room with my name on the door. You come and you see my name and you think I come from Buckingham Palace. Until you open the door. That is amazing. So this God kept me every step of the way, and I want to recommend this God to you, that you got to be passionate for him. You got to be hungry for God. For hunger releases your capacity to dream, and your dream will be realized when God is with you. So today, don't give up your dream. Don't give up the dream that you have. Even if you are finding life difficult, even if you had dreams for your children, you had dreams for your husband, you have dreams for your wife, have dreams for your family, whatever dreams you have for them, it may be difficult right now, but do not give up, for your hunger and your passion for God will let you realize your dreams. Because God is with you. Hallelujah, Lord. Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. He never lost his focus about God's promises. Caleb was ready to fight for what was his. Caleb realized his dreams. When your hunger goes, brothers and sisters, the first thing that goes is your dreams. And when your dreams go, wicked people will benefit from your loss. You see, if it hadn't been for God on my side, and I mean, I bowed down to the pressure and I left, how would I have realized my dreams? And wicked people who want me dead would have come and eaten of my dreams. Don't give up your dreams. Don't give up your dreams. So, let's read Psalm 107, verse 33 to 34. Psalm 107, verse 33 to 34. The Bible says that he turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. Verse 34. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So effectively, this is what the psalmist is saying. That when you give up your dreams, your rivers will be turned into wilderness. All the nourishment, the thing, the fruitfulness will turn into nothingness for you. The water springs into dry ground, and the fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So here you see that the wicked people will take whatever it is. Anyone who really hates you, anyone who doesn't like you, anyone who really doesn't give a toss for God, the Bible described them as wicked. The moment you lose your first love, you become dry and spiritually dead. Are you hearing it? That is why the writer of Revelation, John, Apostle John, was hearing Jesus Christ saying this to him. Jesus himself said these things to him. He said, these are the words of prophecy, and I want you to hear it. That if you don't have that hunger, then that time will come that you become spiritually dry if you're not hungry and spiritually dead. And I don't have to prove anything to you. You can see that for yourself. When your hunger goes, you see that spiritually you're getting dry. Coming to church is a chore. Praying is a chore. You don't have any hunger. You don't have any relationship with God. And therefore, you cannot open your heart to want more of God in your life. At that point, we have to sit and eat at the table of our God. Have to sit and pick up a Bible and eat from it, because if you never sit to eat, one day your lampstand will be removed. So what causes us to lose our first love? What causes you and me to lose our passion? Number one, the spirit of this age denies the passion for God. You see, we are in the end times. We are in the stage of our lives that there's so much going on that tells you that don't believe God. Don't give your heart to God. Don't be hungry for God. It's too much commitment. It doesn't exist. But they know they are telling you a lie. At evangelism school over the weekend, I said that when I was young, even in my teenager, early 20s, you go on our televisions, we only had three channels, BBC 1, BBC 2, and ITV. Not even Channel 4, let alone Channel 5. Sky came later. Some of you were born and you thought that Sky has been there forever. And every Sunday morning by this time, there's going to be some church service or religious programs. And then in the evening, they will have songs of praise, right? These days, songs of praise, you don't even know what they're doing, if it still exists. Is it there? Okay, God help me. The last time I watched the songs of praise, I'm thinking, what are they talking about? It's better. Okay, you guys are spiritual people, so forgive me. But let's move on from songs of praise. But I'm trying to say that every Sunday there was something about religion on our television stations. Today you go to BBC in the morning on Sundays, nothing. ITV, nothing. Channel 4, nothing. 5, nothing. Sky, nothing. Unless you go to the dedicated God channel, then you have so many of all other things over there. So let's move on. The spirit of this age denies the passion for God. This is an antichrist spirit. Hear it. It's an antichrist spirit. It says don't become committed. It's too much. It's an antichrist spirit. How can we come to South and they have a vision pathway that will take you 2 years to go through it? You don't have to be a disciple. It's enough only to be a Christian. That's an antichrist spirit. It's deceiving many people and many Christians. That is why Jesus Christ was so particular that I see you are doing something, but there's got to be some hunger in you. Otherwise, the spirit of this age is going to take things from you. When you read chapter 1 of Revelation, it will tell you that. When the spirit of this age is at work in your life, you become indifferent, you become passive and not committed, not even to the vision of this house. When you lose that passion, you lose every commitment that you have. You become casual. You become careless. You don't serve. You don't take church seriously. And even begin to complain about your church leaders and what your church does. Number two, what causes us to lose our first love? The arrival mentality. Write it down. The arrival mentality. I have arrived. You know, when you use, not WhatsApp, GPS. Anytime I turn on my GPS, first thing it says that you have reached your destination. And I'm thinking, I haven't even set off yet. How come I've reached my destination? I get so upset. Anyway, I don't know how to tell it to stop. But I had to tell it. So arrival mentality. You see, when you have that arrival mentality, you don't see the need for more. You don't see the need that you have to have it. Oh, I've done a new life, a new beginning. That is enough. I've arrived. I've gone through introduction to leadership. I've arrived. I have done school of evangelism. I have arrived. I've done family school. I've arrived. House of Peace training, I've arrived. Supernatural mentors, I have arrived. It's not about that. I want more. Do you want more? Yes, sir. Thank you, my sister. You don't need to see the need. They don't see the need to seek more of God because you think you know it all. That is the arrival mentality. You think, I also have an anointing. I don't see the need for dependency on God anymore. I can do it on my own. I don't want any interference, any direction from anybody. Something tells you, why do you have to come and sit down for Pastor Gideon, Pastor Irene, to teach you again? You know the Bible. Of course I know the Bible, and I'm still learning. Before I went to Spurgeon College, I knew a lot of scripture that I could teach a lot of pastors. Yet I went to sit down, and I was taught. Do you hear that? You have to always look for more. Because there's something that you don't know, there's something that you haven't experienced, there's something that you don't understand, that when you sit, you may understand something out of a whole day, something, a teaching that they will give you. When you get to that point, you don't want any interference in common from your pastor. When you get to that state, you know then that you are losing your first love. When you get to that point. Number three, what causes us to lose our first love? Losing the fear for God. When you have reached the state that you lose the fear for God, you don't fear God anymore. That means you've left your first love. These are the things that Jesus Christ was warning his church, that be careful and remember and go back to your first love. When you lose the fear of the Lord, it is a sign that you have lost your first love. You do not fear to sin. You compromise your principles and your standards. The next thing is you tolerate sin. Say that with me. Tolerate sin. That means if somebody is doing something wrong and you know it's wrong, you can't say it because you don't want to upset or offend the person. And you watch the person do the wrong thing. I cannot for the life of me look at an elderly person probably using a walking stick, or maybe somebody blind, right, with a white cane crossing this busy road, and will not run and catch that person and say, hey, where are you going? It can harm you. When you lose your first love, you tolerate sin. You end up feeling not guilty when you sin or disobey God. You have lost your fear for God, and therefore you have lost your first love. Sometimes people say, well, I can sin and I go and repent and I ask God to forgive me. Yes, God will forgive you, but you don't fear God. That's why you keep doing that. And one day it will come to a point that because you don't fear, you forget to ask God for forgiveness. That is when already you've opened the door and given a legal right for the enemy. So you become a free agent for the enemy to catch you. And that is when one day he will humiliate you, disgrace you, bring you to your knees. Let us not lose our fear for God. Now, number four. What causes people to lose their first love? Discouragement and disappointment. I've done about 2-3 sermons on that one, so please go and look at it. But I just want to mention it to help you to grapple with that. Discouragement and disappointment. Because of lack of fulfillment or unfulfilled expectations, we become discouraged. You have something on your mind. You have some good thoughts about your husband, thoughts about your wife that, one day X, Y, Z. Or you have a thought about your business or your work or your plans or your children that this is what is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. Then nothing happens. You become discouraged. It makes your heart sick. And it's a strategy of the enemy to weigh you down. And when you are weighed down, then the enemy is ready to wear you out. Two things. He'll wear you down, you become so discouraged that you can't even lift yourself up to see that something positive can come out of the situation. It may well be that you're a student, you've studied so much, you went to first class, and you didn't. You get second, lower. And be thinking, hey, what happened? Or you pray so much to get A's in your GCSE and then you get CC's and, if there's F or E, you get some. And be wondering, what happened? Did I not study? The whole idea is to make you discouraged. Weigh you down, wear you out. So these are the times that I would say this, that these are the times that God is opening up mysteries. But for those who are hungry, God is opening up mysteries for those who are hungry. If you're in this house, you are learning something, are you? Yes. I know this side are learning. I don't know about this side. Yes. Thank you. And I hope this side is also learning too. You see, God is opening mysteries, even in this church and all over the place. But who is he opening it to those who are hungry? You see, Jesus was able to open up mysteries to John because John at the time wasn't even eating. He was before the Lord on the island of Patmos, left for dead. The only strength that he had in him was to pray. And God appeared to him. And Jesus started speaking to him. That resurrected Christ started speaking to John, the apostle. So it is at that point that we have to learn. And the mysteries that Jesus unveiled to John was about the end times. Time that we are in. They are treacherous times. They are difficult times. They are tricky times. And if you are not strong, your lampstand will be open and will be taken away from you. If you are not strong, you actually leave the faith. If you are not strong, you backslide big time. And you don't want God anymore. But that's the enemy's lie. Are you saying that what you have right now is not enough? Are you willing to focus on your dreams until they are fulfilled? How do we stay hungry then in the midst of all this? The atmosphere that we are in, the fact that Jesus Christ is saying that you have lost your first love. How do we stay hungry in the midst of a place like South Street Baptist Church, where there is anointing, the presence of God, where there are miracles, where there are revelations, where there are signs and wonders, where we are unfolding scripture to you, scripture that I've known all my life. I've been a Christian for over 40 years in my life, and now I'm understanding scripture in a way that is not far away from me. It's not historical anymore, but it's application. The word of God becomes a reality because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus is not the Jesus of the past. He's the now and my future. Is that the same for you? How do we stay hungry? If you're in South Street Baptist Church, you say, hey, probably I can stay hungry. But a whole lot are not hungry. Jesus said that, look, you've left your first love. So how do we stay hungry? Number one, stay in the place of humility. Be humble. Be humble. You don't know everything yet. Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we now know in part, we now understand in part, but a time will come when all imperfection will go away and then the perfect will come. Then we'll understand all mysteries and we understand all knowledge. Do you understand that? That time will come. So for now, we have to press on. For now, we have to press on to heal people. Because that is what the Bible said. Those who believe, these are the signs that will follow those who believe. If you read Mark chapter 16, verse 17. The question is, are you a believer? So these are the signs that will follow those who believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall heal the sick. In my name, they will take Satan captives. In my name, if something evil come upon them, they'll be able to ride it. Are you a believer? Do you believe it? Hello? The Bible said these signs will follow you. And we are believers. And if these signs are not following us, then which Jesus are we following? Hello? Are we following the historical Jesus? This is not about denomination. It's about reality of the gospel. For over 40 years, I followed this Jesus. I haven't given up. And yet it never occurred to me that these signs should follow me. For the life of me, I probably never saw those scriptures until 3 years ago. And yet, I thought I'd read the Bible through a few times. Are you with me? Do you read the Bible and you just miss things and now you read them again? I'm thinking, wow, these things were there and I never saw them. There's so many scriptures that I never saw them about the supernatural power of God. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, that my preaching and my message is not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the spirit, it's in power and in spirit. Therefore, your faith will not be based on the wisdom of human beings and knowledge of human beings, but to be based in the Spirit of God. I never saw that. And I saw 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, that you and me cannot go. The kingdom of God is not about words. It's not about what we say. It's not about what we know. It's not about X, Y, Z, but it's about demonstration of the Spirit's power. Have you thought about that? Are you demonstrating any of the Spirit's power in you? Hello? Are we reading the same Bible? This is not about denomination. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about our faith. It's about who we are. I'm still a Baptist and I remain a Baptist. But I just want you to understand that the church that Jesus Christ is talking about, you and me, says we should remember our first love, without which we will lose it. Number two, how do we stay hungry in a place like Southside Baptist Church? Seek God with all your heart, and you will not leave your first love, but stay committed. Because the greater passion, seek God with all your heart, I said, the greatest passion for David and Moses was the presence of God. That was the greatest passion. That was their first love. They did not want to lose their first love. They wanted the presence of God so much. That was their greatest passion. Psalm 73, verse 25, it says this, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. They wanted God so much. They desire God. That means they passionately want God. But then God was not a physical thing that they could see. They wanted the presence of God. Hallelujah, Lord. When you read Psalm 27, verse 4, this is what he says. One thing I have desired. This David speaking again. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hallelujah. That means there is a place called church, a place that God has set aside that Christians should meet. It's either the tabernacle, the temple, or the church, as we call it. Every now and then you've got to be in the church. You can stay at home. That is okay. Some people believe that church should always be online. That is absolutely fine. But God has designated a place that people should meet. Because when we meet together, there's what we call corporate anointing. There's more revelation. There's more power. There's more prayers. There's more worship. And David said, I have desired to seek your face. That is one thing I have desired. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David wanted the presence of God in his life. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 and 16. I read through to verse 11, and I'm thinking, oh God, don't read my verse. But here it is. Same man, Moses. He was with the people. Everybody was in their tent, right? But Moses wanted so much of God. He wanted so much of God that he realized that he can't have so much of God if he's with the people. Not that he wanted to be isolated. So he went a few distance and put up a tent. And whenever he went and entered into the tent, the presence of God came. The Bible said the presence of God came like a cloud and stood on the tent. Each time he entered. And when the people saw it, they all came out of their tent and they worshiped the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the story leading to this. They came to worship the Lord. So when people see your passion for God, when they see the presence of God, just like Moses was seeking, just like David was seeking, that one thing I've desired, that Moses said, I want God so much. If it means that I have to leave my comfort zone, I have to leave my bed, I have to leave my television, I have to leave my computer, I have to leave my social media and come and pitch my tent in Southside Baptist Church on a Sunday or whatever day that we declare that we have to meet and come and feel the presence of God, he will do it. That's what Moses did. And look at verse 15 and 16. This is what it says. Then Moses said to him, being God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the earth, or upon the face of the earth. How can I go? Moses is saying that, look, God, this journey that I'm making is taking me 40 years, but I cannot go, I cannot make a move unless I see your presence with me. He wanted more. Unless I see your presence with me. Unless I know, I feel, I experience that God is with me. How can I navigate this difficult time? Unless I have a feeling, unless I have a sense, unless I have an awareness of God who is with me. Unless your presence is with me. If your presence will not be with me, then do not go with us. Then we are not going any further. But how can you? How can other people know that you are with us? How can anyone know that we found grace in your sight? Except you are with us. How can I know? How can they know that you are with us? Unless there's a marking on us. Unless we've been marked as separate people of God. Me and you together. So that all the people on this world will know that God is with us. Moses was looking for a marking. And that marking came from hunger for his presence. And for Jesus Christ, what was priority for him while here on this earth was that he will do the will of God. I'll give you this verse for time's sake. I will just summarize it for you. John chapter 4, verse 32 to 34. John 4, 32 to 34. Jesus then was saying that effectively, that everything I do is the byproduct of my passion for the Lord. My passion is to do the will of the Father, to be in the presence of the Lord. What is your greatest passion? What is your greatest passion today? My greatest passion is God. Hallelujah. I was talking to my sister. I have one sister still in Africa, you know. And she was talking to me on Friday, I believe it's Friday. And whatever happened, she said, look, the way I look at you, I cannot see you ever coming to live in Africa. I didn't know what to tell her. And I said, why do you say that? He said, I see that you are so much into your church. I said, my passion is God. My greatest passion is God. So as far as God is alive and is with me, my passion is to do the will of God who has anointed me and sent me. And therefore I will serve his people in this building as long as I live. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, in conclusion, this is what I will say to you. Never be conformed. Continue to seek God. Because David said, I hunger for God. Psalm 42, verse 1 to 4. I hunger for God. I thirst for God. Are you hungry for God? Do you thirst for God? When you are hungry for God, when you are hungry for God, you will be passionate for God and serve others. When you are hungry for God, you'll be passionate to serve your family. A lot of married men are not home to serve their family. They serve their jobs. When you have passion for God, you serve your family. You serve your children. Because one day they will know that daddy was not there. And they will accuse you. It will break your heart. At that time, you cannot right the wrong. If you are a mother, the same thing goes for you. If you have passion for God, you have passion for your home. You have passion for your husband. You have passion for your children. You have passion for the things that matters to you. Hallelujah, Lord. God demands passion. Passion is a burning fire that should well up in you, because you cannot conquer what you are not committed to. If you are not committed to something, you cannot conquer the obstacles that come your way. You cannot have any relationship when the law of reciprocity, or let me put it this way, reciprocity, that's reciprocal, right? English language, R-E-C-I-P-R-O-C-I-T-Y, reciprocity, is not activated. In simple terms, you give something to get something. I just speak in English, but I thought I want to be smart. Now I'm struggling to even mention it, to pronounce it. Reciprocal. You give something to get something, right? So unless you give something to God, you're not going to get what you want. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're not willing to give as much as you get, that relationship is not going to last. You will never see what you want to see, because the cost of that relationship is commitment and passion. So if you say you know God, what is the cost? It's your hunger, it's your commitment, and your passion. Hallelujah, Lord. Shall we get up right now? We're going to pray. We're going to pray and respond to this message. But this is not to catch anybody out, but it's to help us to connect with God, because Jesus Christ himself said, remember your first love. It's not enough to think you know scripture. It's not enough to think that you know the Bible. It's not enough to think that you can pray for people. God wants commitment. God wants passion. If not, you've lost your first love. So I'm going to make a big ask. How many of you have lost your hunger for God? Or how many of you have lost your first love? Show by hand. It's not a shame thing. There are times that I've lost it. You know, thank you. You're the only truthful person here. Thank you. Only two people who are truthful. Thank you. That's the third person. Hallelujah. Yes. Four people. The rest may be lying. You know that. And you know where liars will go. If you've lost your passion for God, just wave at me. I'm going to pray for you. It's nothing to be ashamed about. There were times that I lost my passion for God because my career was most important. And those were the most difficult times in my life. If you've lost your passion for God or your first love, just wave at me. I'm going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. There's about a dozen or so. That's right. The rest, God be with you, and you sort yourself out. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, first, I want you to pray to God and say, God, you know what? I am sorry that I've lost my first love. I'm sorry. God, I know I do a lot for this church. I give my money. I serve you faithfully. But it's just like a routine. Forgive me, oh God. Ask God to forgive you for losing your passion. Hallelujah, Lord. Make some noise, please. Sing some. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. I want you to pray. You have 2 minutes to pray. Tell God, oh God, I've lost my first love. I've lost my passion. Father God, I thank you for your people right now. Father, I thank you for everyone who is praying right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Father God, today create a hunger in each one of them. Father, I pray that you create a passion, Father God, in each one of them. Father, today I pray that anyone who call upon the name of the Lord God today will be saved. Father God, I pray that as your sons and daughters who have lost their first love, they have lost their hunger and their passion for God. Father, today I'm praying. Your word says, remember where you have fallen. Remember your first love. Otherwise, I'll come and take your lampstand from you. Father, we pray that create a hunger in us, that your lampstand and our lampstands will never be taken away from us. Revive our hearts, O God. Revive our souls, O God. Revive our spirit, O God. Father, create in us a hunger for Jesus, a hunger for his word, a hunger for more of your presence, a hunger to do your will in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm always minded to remind each one of you that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are in the times. We are in the times that you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. 2 years ago, by this time, we did not know that on the 22nd of March, 2020, there's going to be a national lockdown for 6 months in our country and then pandemic in the whole world. You don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, there's hope for you. It will give you that hope to stand. So today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know that he died for you on the cross so that he will make a way for you to come to him, so that he will walk with you and fill you with his presence and his spirit, I want you to wave at me and I'll pray for you wherever you are, and I will go and sit down right now. Anyone here want to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time? Or recommit your life, rededicate your life to Jesus? I would like to pray for you right now. And I'll go and sit down. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. It's about you, not about a person standing by you. Because I want to give everyone opportunity and a living hope. If you are this person, let me know and I'll pray for you. Father God, I thank you for your people. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to prompt us and remind us that you want us to have a relationship with you for our good and for our future. Father, I pray for anyone who is still thinking about accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that Father God will continue reminding that person that all is not lost. There's a way out. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.